And welcome back to another episode of the Tapehead Massacre Podcast. I am Caleb.
And I am Justin.
And today we're talking 1979's Microwave Massacre, directed by Wayne Berwick, starring Jackie Vernon, a.k.a. Frosty the Snowman, for all you, you
winter, Christmas lovers, you Christmas guess you could lovers. Say.
Yeah, you winter fanatics, Christmas lovers.
And those of you who have seen Frosty or like Frosty, the second he starts talking, your head immediately.
Yeah, he's
Frosty.
It's Frosty the fucking snowman, without a doubt.
And I feel like you could really just put Frosty in this movie, and
worked.
He would have worked fine.
Yeah, he would have worked fine.
Just Frosty.
There would have been nothing wrong with it. Before we deep dive into this fucking cinematic masterpiece, let's talk about some other stuff that we've watched recently. This is going to be a shorty but goody. This movie doesn't have a whole lot of meat to it, so...
No, the plot is very, very thin.
Actually, it's got a lot of meat in it, just doesn't have a lot of meat to it.
What a zinger.
Yeah, zingy is ZZZ.
All right, so what have we watched recently?
We watched together for the first time. You guys, you and Brian, our guitar player, we all sat down and watched Lucio Fulci's Zombie.
Yes.
And I think you guys enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, that was a good one. You can see where a lot of, like, tropes and zombie horror apocalyptic movie, you know, you could see where a lot of them kind of started, you know, with that one. Yeah, I did enjoy that.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was fun. We were supposed to record that night, but it was just late.
It was very late and very tired. We're tired now, but, you know.
Here we are. Yeah, so it's going to be a little bit of a shorty episode, but like I said, there's just not a whole lot to this film. But we also watched Knock at the Cabin. I don't know. Yeah.
The M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't like it until you gave me a little bit more of an explanation of, like, what it was.
Yeah.
I forget, what did you tell me?
Well, it's the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
That's it. So, but I just feel the movie, it's a little bit, like, forced. It's just like, they're in this setting, and then out of nowhere, Dave Bautista shows up.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, but otherwise, like, after you told me that, like, I didn't think it was bad to begin with, but, yeah, I guess I just felt like it just missed something. There's something.
I can see that.
A little more explanation of, like, why this was all even happening.
Yeah.
I guess is what I was really looking for. But there's worse M. Night Shyamalans out there. I would watch it again, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again.
Fair. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Probably won't watch it for a little while. But yeah, it was good. I also watched X, which came out, I think it was last year, I think. Maybe the year before. That was really tight. That's a A24 picture. I also watched a bunch of stuff on Shudder recently. I'm trying to think.
I don't have that.
I think I logged in at your house.
Oh, so I can just take
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure it's on your computer in your living room. Fuck, what else did I watch? I definitely watched a bunch of stuff, and I'm just like trying to like think back. I didn't watch anything in my collection, I don't think.
Well, a little while ago, I had a friend Joe over, and you brought over...
Yeah, but I think we talked about that on the last episode, didn't we? I think.
Was it before or after that one?
I don't remember.
We've been doing a lot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I feel like things are just kind of smoozing together.
Yeah, I could see that.
What did we watch? No, you're right, because I do remember us talking about Slumber Party Massacre.
We watched Slumber Party Massacre,
yeah.
And we watched what was it, Night Ripper, and then we also watched...
Oh, yeah.
Night Ripper was fun. That's with the Super Nazi.
That was fun. That was...
And then what was...
That was a good low-quality movie.
We watched Sinister. That was just me and you, though, right? Or was that with Joe?
I think that...
That was with Joe, and that was the last episode we talked about.
So I thought that was maybe.
It's been a little bit. We're gonna try and be a little bit more consistent with this. So yeah, appreciate you guys hanging tight. And
we're just normal people.
Yeah, we're just regular old guys. But we, dude, I feel like I watched the new Evil Dead. I saw that.
I was asking about that earlier because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay,
I have not. And yeah, that's definitely one I wish I had time and would have gotten to.
Well, it's cool because I went to the Mahoning and saw the original on 35mm, which was tight. It's my second time actually going to the Mahoning and seeing that on 35, so that was pretty tight. And then they gave us free screeners to go see Evil Dead Rise, which was pretty cool. I didn't take advantage of that, but because apparently they pulled it in theaters last Wednesday.
Can I ask, does the new one tie in with the old ones, or is it kind of, is it a separate
identity? No, it's just more or less to keep the franchise going. I mean, before in part one and two, obviously you're in the cabin the whole time. And then in Army of Darkness, it's like a medieval, you know, timepiece. You go back in time. The 2003, I think it was, 2013.
That was a reboot, like straight up reboot.
Yeah, that was a reboot. So
that was
like,
really good, though.
Oh, it was
actually very good.
But... I always
come on, Kale.
I always yawn. I always yawn when I record, and this is a thing for all you new listeners. That's the thing
all
that
you
I do.
Cool cats out there.
No, this one was basically able to show you what the Necron. I mean, in Ash vs. Evil Dead, if you watch the show, you get a taste of what the power of the Necronomicon and the Evil Dead. Can do out in the open world, but you never saw that in a movie. So this one portrays, it's all goes down in an apartment building.
Right, so it shows you that?
Yeah, so like you can see like shit go fucking crazy, like in an apartment complex.
But was it set in like the same universe as like these other stories had? Or
yeah.
I don't want to ask too much.
I didn't finish it. So I fell asleep, and that was just because it was like super late when I put it on.
It wasn't because of the quality of the movie.
It wasn't boring, but it wasn't like it didn't grab me that hard.
Because the trailers are like wild. I mean, the trailers make it look like it's a really jump.
It had a hard opening, which was really good, like super hard opening. So like it just grabbed you immediately, and like you wanted more, and you just kept going. But it kind of died for a little while, and then came back. Pretty good. They did good with like the jump scares and like the practical effects were pretty solid.
Does it set us up for more?
I don't know. Yeah, I fell asleep, so I haven't really
watched
the conclusion.
Does Bruce Campbell make an appearance?
No, it's just they were producing Bruce and Sam.
But he doesn't make a cameo or anything.
No,
he makes a cameo in fucking Spider-Man. You know that?
Yeah. Sam and Bruce are homies.
Oh no, yeah, you're right. It was is the Doctor Strange movie. The one that Sam directed.
It wasn't Spider-Man. It was Doctor Strange. He was a guy walking down the street.
Bruce Campbell
was walking down the street.
But in the Doctor Strange one, he's like a hot dog vendor or something.
That's a hot dog vendor.
Yeah, but that was in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you're right. Watched Evil Dead Rise. I also watched Skinamarink, which I think I talked about maybe on the last
episode. Skinamarinky-do?
Well, that's the whole point of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a Shudder original. Pretty cool concept. These, like, two young kids, maybe, like, 10 years old, not 8 and 10, something like that, wake up. Their parents are missing, and all the doors and windows in their house are gone.
Oh, shit.
So, like, and, like, the...
Oh, that is freaky.
It's super crazy.
Oh, that's good. What is this called?
Skinamarink. It's on Shudder.
Skinamarink.
Very cool concept. It was like one guy's vision, so like he does everything. He's like the cinematographer, the producer, the writer. I mean, there's not much to the film. You pretty much have two people the whole time, and you really don't get like direct dialogue. It's shot very interestingly. It's almost like...
Sounds interesting.
No, it's definitely super cool. And I'm a big fan of it. So if you got the Shudders, go ahead and watch that. I also watched the new Castle Freak last night. Came out last year, apparently. It's a remake. It was good. A little wild. had just like a two bit of a, like an early 2000s feel. But it was cool. Had a lot of fun with that one. And yeah. Did you watch anything cool?
I haven't. I've been on kind of a trail of other things. However, my son Hayden, he is dying to see Boogeyman that comes out in June in theaters. Oh. Like he's starting to get up his you know, he like 80s ones are very easy to show him because by now in this day and age they're a little campy and a lot of them are humorous, you know, and you know, so he's building up his tolerance of what he can watch. So him and even in he saw Scream 6 in theaters.
Right.
So that was his first horror movie in theaters and he's cool with that. So this is his first time asking me to take I want to go see this horror movie in the theater.
Right.
So, but his mom took him to Scream 6. So I'm very excited. I would like to take him to Boogeyman and actually see a horror movie with him in the theater.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So I hope that you have a good theater experience.
Yeah, that's the next one.
Try and hit a matinee. Try and hit a matinee with him.
No, we're gonna go at 11 at night. So when we come out, it's 2 in the morning. It's just creepy, and he's just and then we're gonna go back home, and I'm gonna go right to bed. All right, good night. As he's just stewing there. now I'm playing, but now probably would be earlier in the day, so it's still light out when we get out.
For the listeners that have been with us for a while, they would know that I have a personal gripe with theaters and having a tough time with going to the actual movies where you sit down in a theater. Because
you do not going to the movie theaters?
I mean, I definitely do, but I've had so many people ruin that experience with being on their phone or talking or
it's not that bad.
That's bad. It's so bad. I just here's the thing. Me and you just sat down and we literally are coming fresh off the Microwave Massacre watch. Yeah. It was my third. I think that's pretty much this is probably the last time I'll ever watch this movie.
You think that's it?
I think three times is good enough. I don't need to show this to anybody else.
No, it'll be your kid in the future, and you're going to be 80. It's Gramps, I found this movie. Oh, put it in. I haven't seen that in 50 years.
And then I'll be God, kill me now. It'll be the last film I watch before I die.
This is better than Titanic.
Yeah. God. But, yeah, we're coming fresh off that watch. Me and you just sat down, you and I. Just sat down and watched this together and we talked through it and had fun with it because it's not something that needs your attention. But if I'm paying money to go and sit down theater and I'm trying to enjoy the film, because generally speaking, the only thing I'm going to go to a theater and watch will be a horror movie that I'm genuinely interested in seeing.
Right.
I went to the theaters and saw Terrifier 2. And had a good experience with that, but it's because I went to a matinee. You know, that's almost a guarantee that you're not going to get a theater full of people.
No, and you're seeing movies. You're not seeing the A-list, big money, the movies everyone's going to see. The movies that are going to make $100 million to $1 billion.
Well, it's just I've just had so many terrible experiences of sitting and having somebody the one experience that I can think of off the top of my head was just a couple that was sitting directly in front of me that was Snapchatting with the front flash on of their phone, and they were Snapchatting themselves taking pictures.
Yeah, but then you could just go narc on them to the
But I'm not doing that. I'm just I'm stewing in my seat going I just paid fucking $30 to sit in this seat and and this
that's accurate to this, that's how this, expensive yeah. it is.
And then and then this popcorn was another $30 and this drink was another $20.
Now you're racking it up to $100 experience.
Now I'm having this $100 experience be ruined by these fucking children.
Even at the matinee.
No, that wasn't a matinee, but that's why now I'm strictly a matinee goer. And it'll be a weekday matinee.
The thing is, I get what you're saying 100%. I personally have never had that experience at a horror movie because whenever I went, it's other horror movie people that want to watch this story. When I saw Scream 6, it was everyone was in the movie together. You know what the best time I ever had seeing a horror movie at the movie theater was? Mm. The Conjuring.
Conjuring.
I saw that, and I kid you not, it felt like we were all friends watching a movie, and we were all in this together. We all screamed at the same time. We all jumped at the same time.
I'm a little jealous.
Perfect. I swear. That was 2013. Well, that was 10 years ago.
I will probably say that the best experience I've ever had watching a horror movie in a movie theater was watching A Quiet Place. Okay. The John Krasinski directed or produced whatever the fuck he did with the film. He's obviously in it, but
I think he did all that.
The thing is that it's a movie based on shutting the fuck up. So like, there's a lot of there's about 90% of the film that's fucking quiet.
So you better shut the fuck up.
So like, dude, like it was, you could fucking hear your dick queef. Like it was so quiet in that son of a bitch, and like. It was, literally, it was beautiful. And
sorry,
I was just
sorry.
Like,
I think you need to go to the bathroom.
Like, I could literally, like if someone, like, if someone in the front row's phone vibrated, like, you would hear it. It was that quiet. Like, it was just dead
and
silence.
Everyone's ready to
no
just
one's
murder
eating.
That guy.
No one's eating. No one's doing anything in the silent moments. It was so sick. And of course, me, like, loving popcorn as much as I do, I was just like, get fucked. Because I'm just like, damn it. Like, I just want to take a bite of my popcorn right now, but I couldn't. But no, that was a good experience of being in a movie theater and enjoying the experience because, like I said, the goddamn movie is called
now,
A Quiet Place.
And it's part of it because, you know, you wouldn't have enjoyed it as much watching it just in your living room. I mean, that was
well,
part
right.
Of
the
it.
Theater, the theater does bring that, which is why I like the Mahoning. I mean, obviously, the Mahoning drive-in primarily shows older films, you know, but I like going to that because a lot of those films I've already seen. And if I'm taking somebody there, like, you know, we need to take a band trip there. Like, that's one thing we need to block out. We need to go up there for a festival and just block out a schedule. Like, we're doing a little weekender and just do that because it'd be good for us and we'd all have a fucking blast. And then we could walk around Jim Thorpe and, you know, that's a whole other topic. But, yeah, like, you know, there's just something with the Mahoning that gives you, like, a good sense of, like, really having an experience. And like being in a theater, you get that same experience as well, but I've just unfortunately had that experience ruined one too many times because like my thing is I have terrible ADHD and I'm like the definition of ooh, something shiny, and like my brain goes right to it. So as soon as like I hear somebody like fucking eight rows behind me going, hey, so yeah, that one time we were at fucking Johnny's and yeah, it was crazy, right? Like, I just, my blood starts boiling. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, every time I just get so fucking mad.
Dude, as you're explaining this, I just saw Guardians 3 in the theaters and me and Hayden were just all excited and like we were doing all these things that you said that
I mean,
you hate.
He is a kid, so like I guess there's an exception. And it's also
well, there
it's,
other kids and like people.
But
were
also
talking,
it's like it's
and,
Guardians
yeah,
of the Galaxy, so like it's
well,
Marvel
campy.
Units.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's something about that in and of itself being the type of movie that it is where, like, people are going to get excited because there'll be, you know, some special event that happens because it's Marvel. Obviously, there's, sure. like, the two things that happen at the end of every Marvel movie. There's, like, the credits and then the post-credits scene.
Yeah, then the
you
super
know.
Post-credits.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, there's always something with Marvel to where, like, you know, if people talk and stuff, it's kind of like an enjoyable experience. It's not like people talking about what they had
so,
for
yeah,
fucking lunch 2 weeks
going
ago.
Back to this is going to see a horror movie in the theaters just doesn't.
Well, yeah, I mean,
doesn't tickle your
yeah. That's just
your
like
no more.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me. So like, yeah, I mean, you're talking about going to the movies. Like, yeah, I mean, I just I don't know. I just have.
So you'd rather go and do all that at a drive-in, a movie you've seen, and it's fun and it's like outside.
I mean,
kind
the Delcy
shit.
The Delcy drive-in in Vineland does.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but they're fucking assholes there, and they've done. I don't give a shit. They don't follow this podcast. they don't follow any podcast. I've told this story on the show before, but like, you know, we reached out to them to like host like a Tapehead Massacre Presents event there, like a horror like niche thing. This was before I started going to the Mahoning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent them a very long, very detailed email, including the fact that like, you know, oh, like, you know, I loved hearing stories from my dad about him taking a date to go see the original Texas Chainsaw when it came out at your drive-in, et cetera, et cetera. And like literally,
that's nice.
No, it was. And like, you know, it was probably like five or six paragraphs, like very detailed. And like, I had like an itinerary and everything that I like sent, like attached. It was a whole thing. And, you know, obviously like I would have paid for the evening there for them to show because they have two screens at the Delcy. Okay. So, you know, probably wouldn't have needed two screens, probably just needed one, mm-hmm. but regardless, yeah, I sent them this big, long, detailed email, and the only thing that they said back was that didn't have, like, a good afternoon or good evening or to whom it may concern or anything like that. It just literally said, don't know how old your dad is, but we've only been open for 10 years, and horror doesn't seem to work here. It's a niche thing. So, yeah, it was just, like, super shitty. They're new owners, so it sucks. So they gave me this, like, shitty response. And it's like, they're new owners. It's like, but your drive-in's been there since the 50s. Acknowledge that. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like, go fuck yourself. Like, just because you've only owned it for 10 years doesn't mean that there hasn't been people enjoying this.
They could have just wrote, get bent, and you would have explained the story exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, fuck them. I'm equally as mad.
Nah,
but
dude,
like,
we're Team Mahoney.
Well, yeah. You son of a bitch. Yeah, so, I mean, the Delcy Drive-In shows new horror movies on their screens. So, you know, when something, like, they're a big blockbuster thing.
Delcy Drive is like the RC Cola of drives.
Yeah, but
now.
I can fucking drink RC Cola and have a good time.
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously the email.
I mean, I guess.
And they said, hey, you want to throw a party here? I don't think any of those would be like, no.
I mean, yeah, but. Well, that being said, you know, one movie that you definitely won't see at the Delcy Drive-In, but you probably will see at the Mahoning at some point, whether it's VHS Fest or some kooky, quacky event, will be this this featured episode's
Microwave Massacre,
1979.
All right, let's get into it, dude.
Yeah, so hour and 16-minute runtime. It's a fantastic film. This is truly a work of art, and I don't think that there has been anything since 1979 that can possibly top this with its overall character development. The plot is the thickest I've ever seen. And truly, the special effects are bar none. I cannot tell you that Tom Savini has no idea what he's doing compared to Microwave Massacre's special effects. So I think Tom Savini needs to think about his whole career.
He needs to call Wayne Berwick up and ask him.
And ask him, how did you do it?
So, the movie, the first scene, and you've seen this before. I've watched this. We both watched this just now. For me, it was the first time. And right away, the first scene, it just does,
ultra zoom on the boobies.
It's every cliche is pretty much just dealt in front of you in the first five
minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know. And it's just, it's strange because I don't know if this girl is just like into this. Like, so this guy walks up behind her, pinches her ass, and then they start having sex. And I don't know, it doesn't explain if it's consensual or not, but she's getting fucked up against this fence and her tits pop out and pop through this perfect cutaway in the fence for her tits to pop through, which make all the construction workers super horned up.
Like, and then two just start running toward her.
Right.
And
once they get there.
Once they get. And this is just like a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Like a flat piece of wood. It's barely a fence.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's supposed to be a fence.
It doesn't even look like it's like attached to anything. And then that's the whole scene. Like they get and then they move real quick.
Yeah, it's just to kind of show. It's just show tits right up front to grab your attention.
And then I think this woman is in one other scene. And then that's it. And then her character, like, there's just.
Her character goes nowhere.
There's just absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a. At the beginning of this movie, because there is not a lot of meat to this film, there is a lot of filler.
There is a lot of filler.
And in the first, like, 25 minutes is just completely useless scenes that literally have no. I mean, okay.
Well, talk about the scene with
Jackie
the first
or
scene
Donald.
He starts to
Donald?
Argue with his name is Donald.
Donald, yeah.
But the arguing scene with his wife.
Well, yeah. So
that was 20 minutes.
It was, yeah.
And that could have been.
Yeah, it could have been shrunk to a minute.
Five.
Yeah.
Or 4 minutes.
So the whole beginning of the movie is this gentleman Donald who's married to this. This terrible woman named May, and she, she gives her husband a lot of shit, and the whole beginning of the film is basically just, it's explaining how much she cooks out of this microwave and how Donald hates her cooking and is always hungry, and he's bartering food with his coworkers.
And they take 20 minutes to explain that through this
scene.
Well,
I think there might be more than 20. Because
was it really, you think?
I think it might be more than 20 minutes.
The only
minutes.
Thing you get out of that scene is he doesn't like his wife's cooking and they argue a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and,
really it.
But like he has to explain that to his coworkers. He has to explain it to the bartender. And then he also goes home. And then obviously we get the whole...
It is explained like over and over.
It's definitely a repetition that happens over and over and over. So we basically figure out that Donald truly hates his wife's cooking, and he gets a vision, if you may, of him. See what they are? A vision, if you may, of him killing May, his wife, with a samurai sword.
And it goes back and... He's either holding
newspaper.
A baguette or a newspaper.
Yeah,
I can't
newspaper.
Remember.
He does love death by baguette, but
there is death by baguette.
Yeah, in this film we do get a death by baguette. Well, actually, she doesn't die, but she definitely has food poisoning from mold. But
she does not die. That is correct. She
yeah,
is
she stays. She stays alive,
end.
And then they make fun of her for being caught up in the closet.
Yeah, but I mean, she had it coming.
Yeah. She kind of came up in there. So we have very. Few exciting moments in the opening of this film for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'd say it takes about 30 minutes to kind of catch a little bit of a
once
flame.
You get opened up at 30 minutes, we start getting into the killing, and basically Donald doesn't have a sex drive until he kills his wife, and then he has this sex drive where he starts banging these prostitutes and then eating them afterwards.
So at one point in the movie when he's talking to, I think it's a therapist or pediatrician or whatever the fuck it was, he's talking to some type of doctor, and he says 50, he's like, I haven't had sex in 15 years.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and the doctor's asleep. Remember? Like, so the doctor's like asleep. And then basically he's giving him the explanation that he can only have coitus with these women if he kills them right after.
Right.
And then he eats them. And then the doctor wakes up and he repeats it, but he's like, I eat them. And he's like, good, eat them. Obviously he's not understanding what he's saying. And he's like, do it. So now it's like, hey, my doc told me I can go.
This is okay.
Yeah, this is all right. You know, cannibalism, sex, you know, like
the whole nine.
The whole nine. So he's, and then that's where the killings and the whole kind of
So he starts picking
happens.
Up women of the night, if you may.
That's a good way to put it. That's nice.
Yeah, and what happens to them is not so nice. But he does kill them and then chops up their bodies and puts them in the freezer. And then there's definitely a level of supernatural here, because I think May's head that lives in the freezer has some type of supernatural power, because it like moves around by itself at one point in the movie, and then obviously at the end you see the slow zoom to the glowing eyes.
You know what I noticed is that they used May's head as like part of the story, more or less.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th does that.
Yeah, with Jason's
Blood
mom.
Diner does that.
Yeah.
But this is 1979. This is before both of those movies. So
I think you're right, yeah.
I need to find a movie before 1979 that does the same thing. If not, are you going to tell me that Microwave Massacre is what started the trope of the dead mother, the dead wife, the dead person's
head? The dead head. The dead head. Pre-Grateful Dead.
Because that is. Because what is it? Friday the 13th is 1980.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
I think.
Just saying.
Yeah,
this might have started something. And that's why this movie is as special as it should be in the horror gene.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I don't know how high it sits up on the scale of good, of solid filmmaking.
Luckily, art is subjective, so it's...
Listen, we had a blast watching this.
We did. We had fun.
There is some terrible dialogue in this film. The score is pretty funny at times. You get some like 70s funk and like porno, porno entourage music. And then there's definitely some points in the film that, you see nudity. So like that, you know,
if
that tickles your fancy. But, this is a very expensive tape on Wizard Video. So if you have a tape of Microwave Massacre, a Wizard Video copy, which I think is the only print of this that's available on tape. I mean, there's probably like overseas copies, you know, and not boots, but like, you know, foreign productions of the tape.
Sure.
But the one that I'm most familiar with is the Wizard video copy, which I had a bootleg of. But yeah, I'll never pay the money that this is worth. I probably spent $30 on the Blu-ray. What do you
think it's worth, like, estimate?
Tape, like, yeah. Right now, I mean, I remember it being around like the $300 to $400 range.
Wow, $400 tape.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, it's a lot of tapes that are very valuable in the community don't often come to find themselves to be good films.
No, I mean, one, it's, you know, it's valuable because it's hard to find.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely one of those situations. I mean, it's like History of Violence was one of like the last films to be produced on tape, so that becomes in and of itself an expensive tape because there was only limited amount of copies printed on VHS for History of Violence.
Right before the DVD.
Well, DVDs were already a thing.
Well, before the DVD Blu-ray takeover.
I mean, it was already after, way after the takeover. Okay. It was just kind of like when like the last leg of like tapes were being made. History of Violence was the last tape that was printed on, or at least like mass produced. But yeah, back to this piece of shit. It's a lot of fun to throw on at a party with your friends, and like if you guys want to, like, this is something that like on tour, that if we showed people, that we'd have a good time or something like that.
This is,
you know what I mean?
Like a late night.
Yeah, this is just like
midnight movie,
just fucking stupid humor. Like, just, there's a lot of just nuances of Frosty the Snowman being a cannibal. So
I would love if some like YouTuber or like, you ever hear of Meat Canyon?
Yeah, yeah.
Like someone like that took the audio of this movie and dubbed it as like a fucked up Frosty cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be sick.
That would be, I mean, now that we have that would be amazing.
Now that we have the technology of AI, we could probably make it ourselves.
Oh, yeah. You're right. With AI, we can make anything now, but
yeah.
It really does, like, I
Frosty the Snowman meet
starts talking,
Microwave Massacre. It's Frosty the Snowman.
It's just there, dude. You cannot escape it.
So,
and he's the only one in this movie, actor, actress-wise, that's worth mentioning. Like, no, everyone else is just normal people, which, you know, which, cool, hey, you're in a movie, but you know what I mean? Like, anyone that's even, you would know.
Yeah, I mean, like, even on here, it's just, like, the girl that we talked about in the opening scene, it's literally, her name is called Not Whole Girl, so, like, she doesn't even have a credited name. I mean, her name is Marla Simon.
There's literally
Simon.
A character just called Chick.
Yeah, Chick. Well, that was her actual name. That was the girl dressed up in the chicken costume.
Oh, that's right.
So it was just Chick. And like then, yeah, Karen
like
Marshall,
very
like the neighbor just didn't have a name. It was just neighbor. Yeah.
Which is weird because the neighbor is in a great portion of the movie
and
nothing ever happened.
Yeah,
like he never
killed her,
interacted.
And I don't think that meant anything. Like
that
you
was
would think
literally just shock value type stuff.
I don't know. Like weird. I don't think it was to do anything to the plot. I don't think it like thickened or,
no, it was just
you
weirdness.
Know,
it was just,
yeah, it was just like tension between the two of them. Like clearly the neighbor wanted to fuck Donald, you know, she was always doing something. I mean, she was making seed pots or seed holes in the gravel with her vibrator, her 1979 cordless vibrator.
That is true. I mean, you're not
lying. Battery operated vibrator.
She's having a threesome for a good portion of the movie.
And then a menage a trois. And there was four of them in there at one point.
Was there? Yeah. I mean, you know, you live, you know, you
do what you do want to
do. Country.
Yeah, but. That, you know, that
but
being
again,
said,
it didn't push the story or anything, but
no,
takes
there's a lot. I mean,
in a 76 minute movie, it takes a little bit of a chunk out of it. For
yeah,
sure.
And I mean, the kills aren't great. It's all like all the deaths are pretty much off camera, except a smothering of the pillow.
He's
beating May with like, and then
the
blood splashing.
Red is fake.
Yeah, so like we don't really see any type of. There's like one like. Knife cut down the body of Chick.
That one shot is somewhat badass.
Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic, like, you know, split him down the middle with a knife, you know,
the blood
shot.
Was too,
yeah, I mean, yeah, it was
it
bad.
Just wasn't dark enough. It was a little.
But I mean, none of that mattered
said,
back then.
Toward the end of the movie, I said, this movie's more. It's 95% comedy.
Like, this is definitely
a
like a slapstick comedy with, like, just. I think it's just a comedy that has a cannibalistic element to it. I don't think that there's any hard, like the reason I'm putting in this the reason this is getting talked
about
on the show
at all.
is because You know, it's a sick cover. It's a sick name.
The cover's rad. I'll give you that.
The artwork is rad, and I mean, we've talked about this multiple times on the show. That was how they got you back in the day when they put a tape on the shelf, and you were in the rental store, the video store, and you saw a sick cover. That was pretty much your only inclination that it was going to be a good film.
You had nothing online. You could read
the back of the box.
You had none of that crap.
Right? Yeah, you just read the back of the box, and I mean, in the '80s and stuff, I think that's when Fangoria started. Was the '80s? So eventually, you did get a magazine that you could subscribe to. And it would tell you about all the latest and greatest horror films. I want to say that was late 80s. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but you know, only the most intense, even like movie fans.
But basically, yeah, you would go to like the clerk and you'd be like, hey, what's like the fucking craziest shit you got in the store right now? And they'd pull out something under the counter and be something like Cannibal Holocaust or Cannibal Ferox or, you know, just, you know, some fucking crazy movie that, you know, they had on tape that was banned, you know, overseas or whatever. And they just got a small run of. Because, I mean, you got to think, like, a lot of, like, small independent film guys back in the day, like, it's basically like us with our band, you know, hey, check out our music, here's stickers, and, you know, here's a free link to our music or whatever. Well, it was just, like, filmmakers back then were like, we're going to drive around different states to all these different video stores that we're going to find. They don't know where they are. They're just going to find video stores and, like, let's go to Philadelphia, let's go to New York City, let's go to... you know, fucking Jacksonville, Florida or whatever, and we're just gonna take our tapes and we're gonna take 1,000 tapes out with us and we're just gonna give them to these video stores.
That's how it started. I feel like we're born in the wrong time, because I would love, dude, like, I'm just like, man, I would love to just like work at Hollywood Video with you.
Yeah, right.
And just like,
yeah, like just be like best friends. You just, oh, yeah. Like, I mean, we could still do that.
It would to run a video.
We could open a video store. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's our calling card.
Huh?
Maybe that's our calling card. We just open up a movie store.
That's. I mean, I got child support to pay. I gotta eat. I don't know.
I mean,
that's I don't know.
I got enough to.
We have AI
stuff.
Now. Yeah. No.
I got a little bit of enough to put on the shelf.
I would love it. I would love to
a little pop up consignment shop where you can buy tapes and.
Dude, honest to God, whatever. I really would, because I mean I would love that.
And it's essentially what Josh did with Toons.
Well, it's just we're not gonna get that back anymore. Like, we're past that. Yeah. And, you know, so like that's not coming back, and it's.
I mean, no, I think there's a huge market out there for the physical world.
I think there's a market.
You gotta dive
a
little deeper
special,
for it. That's all.
You know, like it's a hobby collector's thing, but. To what it used to be. Yeah.
Well, basically, with this film, this was probably one of those films that was not necessarily mass-produced, but I'm sure it was on the shelves at your store, or maybe it wasn't. You know, maybe it was just like one of those things that you heard through the grapevine that was insane because the cover was just, you know, the severed head, you know.
But that's what... that's what I meant by like special. It's like you had no one altering your opinion or like what you were going to grab at the store.
Well, you
looked
that
at the cover and it, you know,
right.
And then instead of like all this forums,
well,
and all
I
stuff,
mean,
it was just like, did you hear that?
I just remember being
no, you had to hear.
Or was
that.
Even like, I mean, I did get to experience a portion of that because I mean, when I was
a
kid, my dad and I would go to Blockbuster and you know, we would rent. We would literally go right to the horror section and we would rent movies based on their cover. A lot of the times, you know, my dad would, you know, pick up the cover and it would, oh, this sounds cool, you know, and then sometimes he'd read the back of the box, sometimes he wouldn't. So, you know, I just remember like there was, I forget the one movie, I think it's just called Monster Truck, but that was like one movie that like I remember like we never got, but I always wanted, and I own a copy of it now, but it's just like, it's a cool cover. It's just a giant monster truck with like this like fucking demon like face on the front, or like zombie or whatever the fuck the character
is. It's great.
Yeah.
It's got to get on the list.
Yeah, right. So, but,
yeah, I guess I just miss the simplicity of those days. Like just, you know, you go to the acne faced clerk and you'd be like, yeah, like what's cool here?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't like, you know, the big movie like came out like, oh, we got copies of Armageddon. Nah, dude, like, where's your weird stuff? We were too young for that section. No, dude, where's the weird stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I want the local
stuff. I'm not looking for porn just yet.
No, I want the weird, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I get that vibe big time. And, So yeah, with Microwave Massacre, I mean, it might have been one of those movies that just, you know, you had to know about through the grapevine, or maybe it was something that was mass, you know, put out. And I mean, I can't imagine it was mass put out. And then this is, I can't imagine it having a large budget. Ooh, Jesus. Here we are. That's two. Let's see if we have a budget listed here on the old IMDb. Taglines, they came for dinner to find they were it. That's
okay.
Fucking crazy.
Oh, here, I like this. Did you know?
Goofs at around 17 minutes, two crew members are visible.
Oh, so here, look, trivia. This is why it said
quotes,
in the box.
Quotes, I'm so hungry I could eat a whore. That's from Donald.
Goofs at around 17 minutes, two crew members are visible.
Yeah, yeah.
No, read it above it. It said
at around 18 minutes, the boom mic is visible. Dr. Von der Food does is not touching Donald with a stethoscope when checking his heartbeat. No, that's not just illiterate. Donald is working outdoors all day in hot and humid conditions on a building site, then headed into a bar. When he gets home, his shirts are dirty and sweaty, but still have pin sharp creases in them if they were fresh from the laundry. That's a continuity thing. That's digging deep, my guy. Wow.
It's just like, wow,
he's ironed his shirt between takes.
So it says it was filmed in August and September of 79, but not released until
Okay, there we go. Okay, yeah, so I was right. It was 1983.
So it was released in 83, it was shot in 79. So okay. what took 4 years of editing?
High fucking money. Connections featured in My Microwave Massacre Memoirs. What the fuck is that?
It's got a...
Stars Wayne Berwick. I guess it's a documentary about the film.
I don't know if this film needed a documentary.
I mean, we might need to watch that.
Oh, no.
Here, let's get a good review off the... fuck that. That's too long.
The biggest thing is our own review. Horrible movie, why I loved it.
Yeah. Let's see. Rodney Dangerfield was considered for the role of Donald, but his asking salary was too high. Yeah, no shit.
Oh, that's great.
The fuck was the budget for this? That's what I want to know. Like, holy shit. There just can't be much money. Box office budget, $75,000 estimated.
$75,000?
Yeah. So
that sounds about right. I mean, wasn't Halloween shot dude, for like the same?
Yeah, but look what the fucking success of Halloween was, because
it was a serious film. It was a real movie.
Right. But all that being said, I had fun with this.
That's the whole point of it.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. But let's talk about something super important about this film, because we obviously want you listeners to go watch it. We watched it on Tubi for free. I have the Arrow Video copy as well, but we were watching it in my living room, and my Blu-ray player's in my room. I just didn't feel like breaking it all down and bringing it out. Yeah. Anyway, let's rate this thing out of 5. And we're going to call
it... Is that where we're going
to
start now?
I guess 5 is fine. 10 is just too high. I think it's just easier to do 5. Let's do it out of 5.
But the thing is, we have to rate it 5 out of... Well, obviously, it's not like 5 on the scary scale. It's 5 on like just the enjoyment scale.
Do we enjoy it? Yeah. So, I mean, like... But we have to... You know, the thing with the show is we have to do something clever. So, it's got to be 5 somethings. So, out of 5... microwaved meals, what would you give this?
Are we to change it depending on the movie every time?
Yeah.
All right, so out of 5 microwave meals, I enjoyed it. Obviously, it's one of those so bad it's good.
Right.
We laughed a bit.
We did.
Like, quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
I had a good couple chuckles.
I'd give it like a 3.8. Microwave meals?
3.8 microwave 3.8 meals
microwave
out of 5.
Meals. I did. I had fun. I enjoyed it. I did laugh. And, you know, it's fucking frosty, so.
Yeah, I mean.
So I'll give it a 3.8 microwave meals.
Cool. All right, this is the point in the show where I overrate the movie that we just watched, so I'm going to give this a 5. I'm just kidding. I've been known to give things 5.
It was perfection.
This one probably gets a 3 for me. I mean, I have a good time watching this. I have a good time showing this to other people. This is probably, like I said, the third time that I've watched it. I'm probably good for the rest of my life. I don't think I need to ever watch this movie again.
Biased because you're saying you're giving it 3 microwave meals after third watch. After first watch, I bet it was a 3.5 to 3.9.
It was probably like a 4.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been diluted in water.
Well, the thing is, you've watched it 3 times. you know, if anyone close to one, like
if anyone
you just got that, not too
yeah,
too
I did.
Long,
well,
you know?
Speaking of which, yeah, since I just bought it like last month, if anyone needs an Arrow Video copy of Microwave Massacre, I'll be selling mine.
So, so we'll watch it.
It's on
Tubi
for free.
It three times in the same calendar.
Yeah,
decade.
This might be a one. I mean, I haven't watched
this
movie.
No, you need to forget about it, and then in a couple years, be like, "Yo, dude, remember Microwave Massacre?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, you gotta put this shit
on." I mean, yeah,
on.
Like I said, I had a bootleg of it, and I watched that, and like, yeah, it was just fucking so bad. But so, yeah, that's a pretty solid rating. Next week,
no sequels, unfortunately. You said a mouthful, brother.
Yeah, so I mean, next week we're probably gonna watch something a little bit more current. That's kind of the back and forth here. I mean, we could have watched something more current to this today, but we
well,
didn't.
Maybe we'll start. We'll do like
we'll shift it.
We'll
yeah,
do tours where an oldie and newie.
Yeah,
kind of keep
and
it balanced
we'll
there.
Get back to getting guests on the show, just kind of getting our feet back into it and everything. We'll get the guests rolling. I know that we got a screener sent to us from the director of Dude Bro Party Massacre.
Yeah, I'm stoked on that.
Yeah, so
that.
our Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Oh, dude.
So this is the trilogy completion. So definitely excited to watch it. It is in our email. We do have the ability to watch that. So maybe we'll
we'll get the
director on soon and have him talking about it. They're doing like a little like film tour for it. So we'll be definitely talking to them soon about that one.
Yeah, it'd be cool, man. Yeah, like you said, we're just getting our feet wet. I'm still kind of like, you know, getting the swing of this. Yeah. And but yeah, we appreciate, you know,
next week we'll
listening.
Probably be watching like Marley and Me or, you know, Dennis the Menace or I don't know, something.
Are we trying to go outside of the
no bar? I'm just fucking with you. No,
well, like once things reach the natural registry or whatever that is, I mean, that's why like that horror movie Pooh Bear like movie got made,
or like Fart. You know, the movie,
like,
it's
well,
called
I mean,
Fart
the
Movie.
It might be like Dennis the Menace, but he's like, you know, back for blood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, puberty came
early. I did watch Cocaine Bear. That was absolutely fucking cracked.
Cocaine Bear was wild.
Yeah, I forgot
it was
that
wild.
I watched that.
It was pretty funny.
Maybe uncomfortable a couple times.
Yeah, I don't think it's something it's, you know, obviously it's a better quality than Microwave Massacre, but it's, again, not one of those movies you should watch three times in a month.
You don't have to.
You really don't have to. But it's a fun ride. It was fun.
I had a good time. But, all right, let's wrap this fucker up, and we'll catch you guys next week for another episode. We'll figure out what we're going to watch then, but yeah, go watch Microwave Massacre. It's on Tubi for free. And
give us recommendations if you guys got something.
Yeah, I'll put a little thing for you Spotify listeners, because that's all that it gives us availability for. But Spotify, if you're listening on Spotify Podcasts, there's a little tab at the bottom of the episode where you can put in recommendations. For you Apple Podcast listeners.
Yeah, we might hear something we've never...
Just DM us.
Never heard in a million years, so...
Yeah, just cool. DM us. And, you know, if you're a director or a producer or a filmmaker in general and you want to talk about your film,
I love the underdog. So if you've made something, please hit. That would be the first on my list.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we got to get the gentleman from Dude Bro Party Massacre
Dude
3.
Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Yeah.
What a legacy.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, who are you? I'm the dude that wrote and filmed Dude Bro Massacre.
Dude Bro Party Massacre.
1-3.
1-3. The trilogy. And it will be completed.
That dude fucks.
Definitely. And no cap. all right, cool, guys. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
And have a good one. Later.